All right. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Check this out. So, I think I just witnessed a miracle. I'm doing a 5-hour trip on the highway, and all of a sudden I looked at the map and it said 4 hours and 30 minutes. And I know I've only been driving for 10 minutes or 5 minutes. And all of a sudden, I knocked 30 minutes off the drive. So while I'm doing this drive, I'm going to talk about something that is supernatural. Supra. I'm actually going to get into etymology really deeper, I think. I enjoy the etymology. That's my hobby. That's my passion. Because it ties back to the Bible. If you take the etymology, you go back to its root words, you see that it lines up exactly with the Bible. And everything does. If you follow anything to its root, whether it's computer language, whether it's parts on a car, anything that you take back to its root, it lines up with the scripture. Because with a car, there's many parts that make the whole. So the body of Christ, many parts make the whole. And before I get into it, if there's any time, any kind of healing that needs to be done between you or another person, make it happen. Put the effort in. You want that person to be healed. You want yourself to be healed. Anytime there's a rift, make it happen, because it's going to change your life. You're going to have a better heart. You're going to have peace. You're going to be positive. You put out your hand of reconciliation, and they can shake their hand and go with you, or they can refuse, but you put your hand of reconciliation out there, and it will make you feel better. Your spirit, your soul, your body, you will feel healthy. Your spirit will feel healthy. Everything will feel good. And it's between them and God whether they do it or not. You did your best effort. So, what I want to talk about is, there's always these sidebars that I throw in there when I'm talking. If something comes to my mind as a sidebar, I talk about it. And I throw it in there, talk about it, and then I'll go back to what I was going to talk about. So in the three-dimensional experience, the natural realm, the Mother Earth realm, the human realm, the daily cycles, the daily repeats, the blood, sweat, and tears, the baby-making realm, the natural realm, whatever you want to call it, I call it a 3D simulation. And so in the simulation, when you're facing off, face-to-face with anybody, anywhere, there's going to be some cutting and turning and changing and pushing out the baby, because when you face off with anything, I don't care if it's on a job, I don't care if it's a marriage, I don't care if it's a friend, I don't care if it's a parent, brother, sister, whatever. Anytime you face off with anybody or anything, I don't care if it's an object, I don't care if it's a tree, a squirrel, a rat, a dog, a cat, anytime you face off with something or somebody, you're going to change. And that creature is going to change whether you see it or not. Even if you face off with a tree, you go over there and touch the tree, there has to be some kind of change in that tree. I can't prove that, but I just know it. And they said that trees communicate through the root system underground. They proved it. I don't know how, but they proved it. And so whenever you face off with anything, you're communicating. And you should be getting stronger. If you take the high road, if somebody's taking the low road, but you take the high road, you're going to exponentially grow. And the whole goal of life is to grow in the inside. The outside never changes. The outside just keeps repeating and repeating and repeating and repeating and repeating. It never changes. What changes is you. And what changes is your perspective. What changes is your outlook, your perspective, your view of that situation, whatever it is. Everything is an object lesson. Let's say two people get married, they stay married 5 years, and one of them dies. Yeah, okay, so it's painful that person died, but it was an object lesson for that person to learn to overcome and grow and get their identity in Christ alone. So here's what happens in life. And I'm kind of getting to my core message here. I had two options that I wanted to go in, two directions. But as I'm talking, I'm being downloaded, a flow, right? When you have a gift, that God gave you a gift, you get a download and it's a flow. Whether you believe it or not, it doesn't matter. I'm telling you the truth. And so when you get the downloads from God Almighty, stuff you're experiencing in 3D is a fractal.
There are police reported ahead.
It's a fractal truth from the spirit realm. The starboard side of you is where you get the downloads. That's the Holy Spirit. The portal side of you is your mouth speaking it out. And so as you download these teachings and you speak them out, other people can grow and you can grow. But you might have to listen two or three times, because if it's a download from on high, it's not from here. And it's a new revelation, but it's the same revelation, but it's said in a different way. And so these revelation or revealings are from on high to grow you up and grow the body of Christ up. This week, I'm going to try to download all my messages to my hard drive at home. And then I'm going to start another website, maybe a website that has the ability for people to comment. But every time you do that, you get attacked by the hive. You know, they attack your website to try to shut it down. Maybe I'll pay somebody to professionally build one. Anyway, I have a sense that there's going to be some new technology where you can just create a website with just a snap of a finger. I have a sense that that's getting ready to come on. It's probably already here, but the ability just to create a website and have people make comments, whether it's a forum or chat or whatever. But you have to be able to filter out the bad apples, you know. And so here's what I wanted to talk about. So when you're interacting in this life, it could be a marriage, it could be a job, it could be friends, it could be family, it could be anybody in this world that you interact with. Their perception of you is their perception. They throw an identity onto you that's not even real, but to them it's real. And it's kind of like the backdrop people. People that you don't know, they're like backdrop people. You see them out there and you see them walking around, but you don't really interact with them. So they're like backdrop people. Until you start to communicate with them or quantum connect with them, they become real. And so it is likewise, family, sister, mom, brother, child, whatever. Their perception of you is their perception. It's not the real you. You put out there, you try to put out there the real you, but they can only perceive from their consciousness who you are. The closer each person gets back to source code understanding, the more they see you. Let me say it a different way. The more you get the mind of Christ, the more you can be in unity consciousness with that other person, and you can actually see the real person. Let me say it a different way. If I say it 3, 4, or 5 ways, maybe it'll settle in. If two people are trying to know the other person as limited humans, you got to have the Holy Spirit. You got to have perception filters. But you also have to see things through the mind of Christ. And the more you approach the mind of Christ, you can actually know the other person to the core. But until the mind of Christ is birthed in a person, they're only perceiving the other person through filters that they filter from their family, their culture, their city, school, upbringing, the programs that they had to survive down here. they're only able to perceive the other person with a limited view. So let's say somebody loves you. They probably do love you. In their perception, you might feel that they don't even know you. But they love you from their perspective, their perception, their conscious, whether it's unlimited or limited, they're looking at you from a consciousness that is from their peephole consciousness. Like you look out a peephole in a door. So you're standing at the door and you knock on the door and you say, "Hey, it's me." And they look out the peephole and they see an image of you, but they don't see the whole you. So when you interact with somebody, "Hey, it's me." If you're spiritual and they're not saved, they can't see, they only see the natural. They don't see the spiritual. If they're spiritual and you have certain gifts in the body of Christ and they don't understand your gifts, they only see you according to their gifts or their understanding or their perceptions. As I'm riding down the highway, I'm looking at signs and symbols and codes and all that stuff. And it's all code to me. And if somebody's in my passenger seat, I say, "Do you see the code?" They don't see it, but I see it. It's all code. You're in a fractal, holographic, simulated, repeat training program to move you from state to state, from the one creature to the next creature, from glory to glory. Every moment of every day is a glory to glory interaction. A new state. A new state of being. If you want to step into that new state of being, you can. But you're going to have to die daily. You're going to have to die to your own understanding. You're going to have to give up certain things. When you give up the TV, when you give up the radio, when you give up the music, when you give up the doom scrolling, when you give up anything in this life, to raise up to the next level of consciousness or spirituality or whatever you want to call it, you're going to be like weird to everybody else. They're going to think you're crazy or weird or something. When you step to the next level, and then the next level, and the next level, Let's say there's 100 levels of spirituality. There's more. It's unlimited, really. But just say there's 100. And everybody starts out at number 1. They get saved, number 2, number 3, number 4, number 5. And they stop at number 5. And you go to number 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, awareness, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 50. You get to level 50. And most people stop at level 5. Do they know you? No. They don't know you. The Bible even says, we know God, but rather He knew us. He knows us. We think we know God, but it's really He knows us. Because God is unlimited, so He gives us these gifts, and He raises us up little by little, step by step, incrementally to the next level of consciousness. And these levels of consciousness are just gifts from Him. And other people who still in the Jerry Springer mindset or the natural mind or the carnal mind, you got the natural creature who's not saved, the carnal Christian, and then the spiritual Christian. But even the spiritual Christian has different levels of understanding. And so the carnal Christian is still trying to live in the world, the flesh, probably like they're still tied into other people that are still carnal. Natural. They love the natural even though they're saved because they're still carnal. They love the natural, but they're saved, and so they're carnal Christians. They still tie into the 3D. They still love this place and interact with this repeat simulated training program. They can't escape it. They're stuck. They could if they ask God, but they can't even see they're tied to it. The carnal Christian doesn't know how to escape being a carnal Christian. And all they'd have to do is die daily and ask God to help them. And He would do it. Because He'll give you whatever you... If it's His will, He will provide it for you. God will give you the desires of your heart according to His will. will of God for the saints, the elect saints, called out saints. So back to what I was saying. So each person that you interact with, if your spouse, they see you a certain way, they don't see the whole you. Your sister, your brother, they only see certain, they're only looking at you from their filter. Each child only sees the parent according to their filter. They don't even see the whole person, the parent. They only see the parts. The only way to really know somebody really deeply is two married people get saved and they become spirit-filled and they really dig deep into the Word, and that's their life. They can get to know each other, body, soul, spirit, will, emotions, intellect. They just do God's will, and they just say, sir, yes, sir, we're going to do your will. I don't care what it is. I don't care how crazy it is. We're going to go in the mission field. Okay. If God says y'all are going to the mission field, the man and the woman get the same message from the Holy Spirit, and they just sell everything going to the mission field. They get the same truth. They're in line. How can two walk together except they be in agreement? So if you got two spirit-filled people who are saved, the Holy Spirit is going to tell them the same thing. Because they're quantumly connected to each other by the Spirit, and to God by the Spirit, and to Jesus by the Spirit, and they're going to get the same message. They're eventually going to be on the same path. If it's a spirit-filled and a carnal Christian, the carnal Christian can't know you. They don't know you. They just perceive it through their trauma, their past, or their whatever it is. They don't know you. You can use psychological terms and all, you know, psychology, and use the online teachings and all that. But if you're not spiritual, psychology ain't gonna help you. Psychology can only take you so far. Psychological analysis, they're a narcissist, or they're a sociopath, or they're whatever, anything that you can try to analyze, yeah, they might be acting according to those things, but it might not be the proper interpretation. It might just be they're carnal Christians, or they're natural creatures, they're brute beasts. Whatever they are, the Bible's going to tell you, and He's going to show you, and He's going to reveal it. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. If somebody's hanging out with unbelievers, they're probably an unbeliever or a carnal Christian. If they are saved and a carnal Christian, God is going to scourge them until they cry out to God. God is going to break them down to their almost dust, and they cry out to God. He's got to, look, God scourges every son He receives or daughter. And the word scourge, that's Hebrews 12. God scourgeth every son He receives. That means He's going to put you in the woodshed, and you're going to feel like you're dying. You're going to feel like death. But He's going to raise you up. When you finally say,
there are police reported ahead.
When you finally say, Lord, I submit, I'm sorry. He's going to scourge you if you're His. It's going to be a spanking like you ain't never seen. The devil does not spank his own. If you're looking at all the unsaved who are prospering or not saved, don't be jealous, because they don't have a daddy that cares about them. God, your daddy, in Hebrews 12, will scourge every son. So if God has to take everything you've got to bring you back to yourself, He'll do it. God will restore you because you're His. Let's say He's trying to teach you that verse. Ephesians 4:28-29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is to edifying. He's going to scourge you. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather labor with his hands the thing which is good, in order to give to him that needeth. And let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but to edify. So number one, you go to work to help other people, not yourself. Number two, you're to build up people, not tear them down. And we should all get convicted of that. I know I do. If we're not building up, we're tearing down. And that's contrary to Ephesians 4:29. So we all should get convicted of that and make strides, and God will eventually send somebody to say, build up, don't tear down. Let God tear it down in scores, because God will. He will do His job. God will do His job. He just wants you to do your job, which is what? Submit. Back to what I was saying, that was another side. A sidebar, you know. That was another sidebar. So when you're going about your day, whether it's a marriage, whether it's a job, whether it's whatever, I've had the opportunity to have 6,000 rideshare riders, and everybody who gets in my car has looked at me when I'm talking to them. They either hate me, they either love me, they either like me as a person, they see me as smart, dumb, whatever. And when you're talking to them, especially if you talk to them about some hidden code, some of the esoteric people say, I want to know more. About a year ago, I had this 20-year-old talking, took her to the Coliseum for a concert or something. And she said, are you a guru? I said, why would you say that? She said, because my mom has a guru that she talks to, and you sound just like him. I said, well, everything is the now. There's no space. There's no time. You don't have to worry about nothing. It's already taken care of. God already set the script. She said, can I have your phone number? So I said, why? She said, I just want to get more information about this. So I sent her a text or two, and I gave it to her really simple. Well, I'm not ready yet. Well, why are you wasting my time? I'm going to tell you the spirituality. Why are you wasting my time? So that went away. Some people, they have a taste. In Hebrews 6, it says they tasted, but they didn't drink. Some people taste, and it tastes, the spiritual knowledge tastes good, but they don't drink it. They don't swallow it. You give them spiritual truth, and they put it in their mouth and wish it around, swish it around in their mouth, but they spit it out because it's too much truth, because the truth divides, and the truth will cut out your old flesh mind. If you drink the truth, you're going to have to change. And most people will never change. They don't want to change. They don't want to change. And so that person saw me. She only could see me through her mama's perspective of the guru that her mama, no, I'm not a guru. I'm a born again who meditates on the truth and the etymology and the Bible and the words. No, I'm not a guru, but if you think I am, that's fine. I'll let you perceive me that way if that's what you need. If you think I'm Hitler, I'll let you perceive me that way if that's what you need to justify whatever. If you think I'm an angel, I'll let you perceive me that way, because I can't change your perception. If you think I'm the worst person in the world, I'll let you perceive me. In some people's world, you're the hero. In some people's world, you're the villain. And I would suggest, as a friend of whoever's listening, only hang out with people that think you're a hero. If they can understand that they've been the villain in some people's story and the hero, that you might be the villain in some people's story and the hero, and you might interact, and sometimes you might step into a villain role and a hero role, and they do too, because everything is a story. So whether it's on a job, whether it's in a marriage, relationship, whatever, everything is a storyline. And if they want to see you as the villain and they can't see themselves in the mirror, let them see you as the villain. They need that for a season. But eventually they'll wake up and realize, hey, maybe they weren't the villain. Maybe I was the villain. Maybe they were the hero. Maybe I'm the hero at one point. Maybe I'm the villain at one point. Different situations call for different acts down here in the 3D simulation. If somebody comes at you who has no ability to be introspective, and they're pointing their finger and calling you every name in the book and you're evil and all, and they make you the villain, so be it. But you go, other people see you as the hero. Don't be mad. If they want to see you as the villain, there's something in them that they need to fix, and only God can do it. Only God can do it over time. And the way that you could do it in interacting with anybody, I don't care if you're interacting with a psychopath, narcissist, sociopath, scorner, rebellious, brute beast, whatever you're dealing with, if you see them as the villain or the hero, it's really in you. And if you change your perspective and look at them from different, say, okay, ask yourself, okay, these are the villain traits, and you see that person, well, they have also have hero traits. So what is that? The villain traits that's in them is their flesh mind. The hero traits is the spirit mind. If they're not saved, they don't have any hero traits because it's all flesh. But they might do acts of kindness to people because they are human. But a lot of times, if they're not saved, the acts of kindness are still just to build themselves up and self-worship. And only really God knows their hearts. You can make a judgment just for your own protection, but only God knows the heart. But if the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 6, you're going to judge angels, he says don't go to court between unbelievers because you're going to judge angels one day. So you can judge every matter with enough data points and enough time, you can make a judgment call whether this is what you want to be a part of. Let's say it's a job. So you go to the interview and they're interviewing you and you're actually interviewing them. When you go to a job interview, not only are they interviewing you, but you're interviewing them. And you learn in engineering, the thing that's measured measures back. In electrical engineering, you learn, and it doesn't matter if it's mechanical engineering, chemical engineering, anything that's engineering, they will teach you that what you measure can measure back. And in quantum physics, when you measure something, it sees you. What you measure measures back. I don't care if it's an electron, I don't care if it's a circuit, I don't care if it's a signal, a wave, a frequency, or whatever. So if it's true in everything else, then it's true with people. So they step into your world and they measure you. They gaze upon you. They watch you. They listen to you. They bring in their historical experience. And you bring in your historical experience. And you measure them. They measure you. You see them. They see you. You hear them. They hear you. You communicate with them. They communicate with you. And there's a choice between two people. Either both are going to be growing and introspective, or one is going to grow and there's going to be a point where there's stagnation and the other one quits growing. And then eventually, if there's stagnation, the river stops flowing, so there's no more flow. And this is why communication is so important. Communication is communion. And communion is together union. So when the flow stops, whether it's communication or money flow or anything, when the communication stops, the flow stops, and it breaks down, whatever it is, a business, a relationship, life, it breaks down. Communication is the flow between people. And it's not just verbal communication. It can be body language. It can be micro expressions. It can be grunts, smiles, frowns, anger, yelling, screaming, peace, quiet. Anytime you're communicating with somebody, they measure you because you're measuring them. And you measure them because they're measuring you. If somebody's yelling at you, you can respond either in a stoic way and peace, or you can respond the way they're throwing it out at you. And if there's no response, they're throwing out, anytime you're communicating with anybody, they're throwing out something. It's like a tennis match. It's called a rally, right? So anytime anybody's communicating with you, looking with you, touching you on the shoulder, anything, they're rallying. They're hitting the tennis ball over. It's a rally, or the badminton. So let's call it badminton. So anytime you look at something, It could be going down, like I'm going down the highway. I'm looking over at this car. Are they getting on my lane or whatever? And they're looking at me, and we have a rally back and forth. Anytime you're talking, anything that you're doing is a back and forth rally. And so you're judging them, they're judging you, you're watching them, they're watching you, you're getting feedback. Okay, is this this? Boom, 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 back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, like a tennis match. And then you finally you do enough rallies and you see what's going on. Back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Okay, all right, is this a saved person? Is this a carnal Christian? Is this unsaved? Are they a hero? Are they a villain? Are they, what are they in the storyline? Because every time you interact with anything, anybody, anywhere, it's a storyline, because it's all about the cross. And it's all about moving people from the flesh mind to the spirit mind. They might leave the flesh mind, get saved, but they're still in the carnal mind. And the only way they move to the spiritual mind is renew their mind daily. In the word of truth, the word of God. What is their game? What is the game? Are they lost? Are they carnal? Are they spiritual? Are they moving to their new state? Or are they stagnated? Do they want to grow? Or do they try to pull you down to that level of stagnation that they stopped at? What is the game? Is God leading them? Is the devil leading them? Is their flesh mind leading them? Is it just carnal? Is it a test? What is it? You know what it is by the Bible. If it's peaceable, easily entreatable, without hypocrisy, it's from above. If it's confusion and every evil work, it's from below. There's no way to not see it if you know your Bible. Your Bible reveals the truth. The truth is revealed through the interactions, the face-to-face turnings of life. Why do you think they say friend or foe in some of those old sayings? Friend or foe. They need to change it to friend or foe or frenemy. Friend or foe or frenemy, you know? Friend or foe? The truth will set you free. If a person does not want truth, they don't want to be free. And if they don't want to be free, they don't want you to be free. And if they don't want to be free and they don't want you to be free, they don't want the truth. And if they don't want the truth, then they want the lies. And if they want the lies and the deception and the darkness, you know who their daddy is. And you're not going to judge, you're not going to be, you don't have to be mean to them. You don't have to say anything. You just let God deal with them. Let God deal with them. Let's see how long I got now. 3 hours and 53 minutes. Jesus alone saves. God's word is the truth down here. And if we don't conform and love his word and saturate our mind with his word, we're going to stay in bondage and slavery and confusion and pretty much every evil work. I have just given you some deep spiritual truth. And it's supported with the scripture, because it talks about in Ephesians 4, the body of Christ edifies one another and builds each other up. And it is supported with etymology, because if you take the word communication, together turn, you union by turning, communion, communication, common, So you have a lot in common. You actually know all things. I met Ryder about a year ago. I told her, I said, you know all things. You just don't know you know all things. But when you get there, you become the guru. You don't need another guru, but you have to start doing some meditation. That's what it was. I said, you got to do some meditation. I never really talked to her on the phone. I just texted her. I said, what you've got to do is start meditating. Well, I'm afraid to meditate because I feel like meditation is, I'll have a demon. Well, I promise you, you cut the noise off, the TV off, your world's going to change, and it's going to change fast. But if you're not ready, whenever you're ready, it'll happen. But I promise you, when you cut, you start meditating, and I'm not talking about sitting in a corner saying, om. I'm talking about true meditation, true communion with the Almighty, listening to the Almighty. And people say, well, I can't hear from God because you got the radio and the TV on. He's always talking. And you hear preachers say, God don't speak anymore like he did. What? God is the Word. He's always speaking. What is that about? Word up? It's not word down. It's word up. God is always speaking. Word up. Right. Word up. Not word down. If the Word spoke it all into existence, then it's always speaking. It might be silent. The clouds are very silent, but they're loud. Clouds are loud because what do they hold? The water. The letter C is agape love. A rich man chasing a poor man down to give him charity. So the cloud is the letter C, which is love, and it's loud. And what is it saying? That God is giving rain on the just and the unjust. So when you look at a cloud, that's loud that God loves the humans because it rains on the just and the unjust. It's very loud. It's very clear. You look up in the sky and you see a cloud. It's very loud, but it's silent. And that's how God works. It's a small, still voice. The clouds are loud, but they're silent. How can the cloud be loud but be silent? Because you look at it, and you see it, and you say, well, that's water. And as the cloud grows, it's going to get heavy, and it's going to rain. And the rain is your sustenance. And the word rain goes about, is it rains on the just and the unjust, because God reigns almighty. Jesus is almighty. He reigns. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. He reigns above all nations, and the rain and the clouds are silent, but it's loud. It pours out God's love to give you water. You can go 40 days without eating, but that water, that rain is free. And for them to say, I'm going to Mars, that's stupid. They're not going to Mars. Your body's 75% water, and so the earth is full of water. You're breathing water. They're not going to Mars. God ain't going to let that happen. They're trying to escape the judgment of God is what they're trying to do. So when you step into your calling, your spiritual calling, not the 3D. The 3D is stupid. You can lose your job in a second. You can lose your health in a second. But faith in God, trust in God, He always, you know, put not your trust in chariots and horses or mankind, but trust in God. It can change on a dime. It can flip on a dime.
There are police reported ahead.
So, the gist of the matter, it doesn't matter what man sees you as, it matters how God sees you, because He looks on the heart. So if you stay in His Word, you're gonna refine your heart. And if you are in a face-to-face turning with anybody, parents, co-workers, spouse, kids, neighbors, whatever, you're being changed whether you know it or not. Whether they know it or not, there's change happening. It has to happen. I'm trying to see if I can decode the word cambiar, which means change in Spanish. Cambiar. I'm sure the Spanish language is coded too, because every language is. It has to change. There has to be a turning. So Combi-R in Spanish is cam. So the cams, the cylinders in your car, the cam is turning. As the cogs turn, there's a cam in your car that the pistons, that runs the up and down position of the piston. And so that cam is always turning. And that Combi-R change is the cam turning you up and down, left and right, here and there, up and down. So like you see these angels with all these eyes that are, the eyes are all around and about, and it's turning. And so God sees you through these creatures. It's the Spirit of God. There's seven spirits that come out from the throne of God. So God sees you, and he's turning. He sees every aspect. He can look at you from 1,000 different perspectives. When we look at somebody else, we can only see them from 2 or 3 different perspectives. We don't see them on the job, or we might, or we don't see them in a family setting. We don't see them when they're by themselves. The closest you can get to seeing somebody, usually, is in a marriage. But even then, the perspective is limited, but God sees the heart from every perspective. And so when you start to look at life from a holographic, fractal perspective, you know that God is working for good, all things together for those that love him and are called according to his purpose, Romans 8:28, because it lines up with a holographic, fractal reality where God sees everything. And he sees your heart, number one, for out of it flow the issues of life. And that is the deal, people. Let me cut this off and focus on driving for a while. You only see partial. God sees the whole. The more you grow spiritually, you start to see more whole. Most people are in partiality. And when you say it's a hologram, they call you crazy because they haven't entered into it yet. They can't see it. It takes a lot of work to get there. A lot of inner work. I'm not talking about outside work. I'm talking about renewing the mind. And when you see the holographic fractal, you've already seen this person before. Either in your mom or your sister, your brother, or your daddy, or whatever. You've already seen that person. Rideshare, co-worker. You work with God is not going to put you in situations that you haven't seen before. That's why it's always deja vu. You've already seen it before. Any person you interact with, there's somebody in your family, friends, growing up that has the traits of that person. You can only see parts, but you have enough information to protect yourself, to know what you're dealing with. Sometimes people have fractured personalities or split personalities, you know, but it is what it is. That's a little bit deeper than this I can get into. I don't even think a psychologist understands that. I think it's pretty much, in my opinion, I think a split personality is a demon. But, or multiple demons coming in and out, you know. Anyway, or alter personalities, or it has to be a demon that takes them over. God is not going to do that to you. God is going to grow you up a little bit by little bit. And as you grow, the people that you used to know, you can't interact with. You're a different person. You're a different person. If they grow with you, hallelujah. If they don't, they'll pass off the scene and God will send you new people to interact with. Apostle Paul knew this. Apostle Paul knew what he was talking about. He went to the third heaven, and that's why in 1 Corinthians 7 he tells the virgin women not to marry, and he tells the men it's better not to marry because you get divided, the cares of this life versus what's above. The cares above are the cares of this life. You're divided. Your mind is divided. Depends on how much love it is. If it's deep spiritual love, maybe you want to be tied to the 3D. Maybe it's a good thing. Maybe it's a bad thing. Who knows? It depends on the person. Apostle Paul gives liberty. We're not into a legalistic religion. It's all by faith. And God knows the struggle that you've been in. He knows the trouble and the struggle. He knows. I just saw a truck carrying 3 trucks on the back. like last week, I keep seeing these three. I see this truck carrying three or four cat bulldozers. I see that a lot. Now I just saw a truck carrying three. I'm seeing patterns where there's a truck towing three cars on the back of a trailer. Sometimes God sends people in your life to give you a new perspective, to push you to the next level. He's always going to push you higher. He's always going to push you higher because you're His. And anything you interact with, it might seem painful, but it's actually pushing you to the next level. Period. Plain and simple. All right. This is a great message. You're going to have to listen to it three times to get the gist of it, because when you go into the code, the etymology, breaking the word down to its constituent parts, to its root parts, you're going to actually see cut, turn, union, flow everywhere, which it tells you is a fractal hologram, and you're going to be able to apply it no matter who you are and where you're at in your walk. If it's source code knowledge, you're going to be changed whether you like it or not. You're going to either hate it or you're going to love it, and you're going to persecute me or you're going to love me. You might not like it. But the truth is the truth, whether it feels painful or not. It's going to cut you. I mean, Elijah, all the prophets of old, they would cut people with the truth. And if the truth cuts you, praise God, you're convicted and you can change. If you have no conviction, sad. If God takes you to the woodshed, you're His. If He doesn't take you to the woodshed ever, then you're what? Child of Satan. And Satan wants you to think you're okay. I'm okay, you're okay, right? How to Win Friends and Influence People. That's a worldly book. The title is a worldly book. A born again doesn't care about how to win friends and influence people. A born again just wants to tell the truth. If you hate it, it's on you. If you love it, praise God. The truth will set you free, but it's got to cut you first. When Dr. Law cuts you and says, you're a sinner, your sin stinks to the high heaven, you're going to burn, Dr. Law is cutting you, right? You got cancer, but Dr. Law sends you to Dr. Grace to heal you. Dr. Law cuts you, Dr. Grace cuts the cancer out and sews it up and heals you. Dr. Law has to cut you. The Ten Commandments. You've broken at least one of them, and if you broke one, you broke them all. You're a sinner. You were born in sin. Dr. Law cuts you with the Ten Commandments. Dr. Grace heals you with grace and love and truth. If you don't want to be cut by Dr. Law, you will never be saved by Dr. Grace. You've got to go to Dr. Law first before you can go to Dr. Grace, because that is the universal teaching of the universe. You got to see your sin. The flesh is nothing but sin. It's under law. And if you don't go to Dr. Law and look at the Ten Commandments and say, woe is me, I'm a sinner. I was born in sin. In sin did my mother conceive me. Hello? Eve? Adam and Eve? Eve is the flesh side of Adam? Dr. Law, Dr. Grace. If you don't go to Dr. Law, you can't be saved, because you have to see your sin. Then you go to Dr. Grace and get saved. Period. That's how this universe works. If you try to bypass Dr. Law, just, I want the grace of God. Did you go to Dr. Law? No. Well, you got to go to Dr. Law. Period. Ten Commandments. Have you broken any? No, I'm a good person. No, you're not. You're evil. Everybody's born in sin. You're evil. Go to Dr. Law. Come back. You knock on the door and say, Dr. Grace, let me in. No. Have you been to Dr. Law? No. Well, you don't have a prescription to come here. Go to Dr. Law, get a prescription, a prescript. And if you go to Dr. Law, he's going to give you a prescription to come to Dr. Grace. But if you don't go to Dr. Law, you can't go to Dr. You can't pass go. You can't skip that process. The process is Dr. Law and then Dr. Grace. If you try to skip Dr. Law, you can't get to grace. You've got to go to Dr. Law. And the Ten Commandments are going to cut you so bad, you're going to feel so you're going to fall on your face and say, Lord, I'm sorry. And you can run Dr. Grace then. And the sad part is, people don't understand that God is Dr. Law and He is Dr. Grace. And you say, well, God is, no, listen, God is so holy that He can't look upon you and it looks like law. The Ten Commandments were to help you. Even Jesus said, the rich young ruler, He says, I kept all the laws from my early birth. And Jesus said, sell everything you got and come follow me. And he couldn't. Why? Because covetousness, the love of money is mammon. He hit that guy at the core. Sell everything you got and come follow me. He couldn't give it all up. He was tied to his money, his covetousness, his image, his position, his power. He couldn't give up his position, his image, his covetousness. And he walked away sad. The cares of this life, a worldling, the world, the flesh, and the pride of life. And some people are convicted of that, being around you who are spiritual, and they want to blame you. You're judging me. No, I'm not. I don't care about this. I don't care about houses and cars or anything else. I'm not judging you. You just get conviction of the Holy Spirit that you're still hanging on to mammon. You still love money. You love mankind's praise instead of the praise of God. All right. Play this out 4 or 5 times and you'll get a hold of some stuff that really will change your life.